From Tridio Media, I'm Father Roderick, and this is The Daily Breakfast. This week, I'm in Rome, and I'm here on the rooftop of my hotel in the Eternal City. And behind me, you can see the dome of St. Peter's Basilica. And it's beautiful weather. The sun is shining, the skies are blue. And it's Movie Monday, so today I'm going to share with you my thoughts about the movie Coco. This may be one of Pixar's best movies yet. This movie theater is called Julius Caesar, a fitting name for a theater that is right in the heart of Rome. And even though it has a very old title, the inside is actually quite modern, as you can tell. This would be one of the theaters that I would frequently visit as a student when I was still studying communications here in Rome, because I love movies and I just wanted to keep in touch. I remember that in one of, I don't remember if it was this one or another one down the road, it was in this area, not far from the Vatican, that I saw the second Jurassic Park movie. It was one downside. I mean, these movie theaters are great. There is one downside of going to the movies here in Italy, and that is that all the movies are not subtitled like we do in the Netherlands, but they are dubbed in Italian. And when you're still learning Italian, you're still trying to master the language, watching a movie at full speed completely dubbed in Italian, that's quite hard to follow. Fortunately for me, the dinosaurs didn't speak any Italian, so I was good with that movie. But I've sometimes been in other movies where it was so hard to keep track of what was going on. Across the road here, always have to be careful with the traffic. Although usually the traffic here is used to pedestrians crossing the road whenever they want, so there's not much risk. But then again, I'm also recording this, so always have to be a little bit more careful. Oh, you gotta see this. This is, by the way, something very typically Italian, if I can, yeah, there you go. These are chestnuts that they're roasting, and then you can buy them in a little paper bag like that. And the smell is delicious. And this guy is just basically, his job is to turn these chestnuts around patiently every single day so that they are ready for consumption. So the Christmas time here in Italy is wonderful. There's just this extra atmosphere. And even now, I'm recording this at the beginning of Advent, there's not that much Christmas atmosphere in this part, but there are still quite a few decorations here in the shops. Like here, I'm looking at a window. What kind of shop is this? Oh, it's cigars. And so they've already put up all the nice winter decorations. Very, very nice. But the Christmas time was also, when I was still working here as a student, a great time, because we would have had our exams and then we would have basically a couple of weeks to just walk around and enjoy the city. And in my case, go to the movies. And there was one theater, I remember, that actually had movies in English. And I don't know if they were subtitled, but anyway, that would be the place to go to watch the major movies. Let me see, could probably go to the right here. Yeah, in this direction I go to the Vatican. The movie I want to talk about today, I'm not sure if it's already out here in Italy, is the new Pixar movie. And I'm pretty sure that it will be in theaters here because it's a typical Christmas end of the year type of movie. Actually, it's not just the movie Coco. There is a second movie, almost a second movie, that you get for the price of admission of one movie, and that is the sequel to Frozen. Now, as you remember, Frozen was one of Disney's biggest successes, a massive hit, a wonderful, wonderful story, but also great songs, great animation, and an ongoing hit, a lasting hit. And so we know that a new movie is in the making, but it's not ready yet. And so for Coco, they decided to do a second, almost like a mini sequel, which is based around Christmas. And of course, the big difficulty to do something with Christmas, especially in our very politically correct times nowadays, is you don't want to offend anyone. Disney, Pixar are worldwide brands, and so they make movies for the entire world. So if they would focus something on, let's say, just a Christian Christmas tradition, then you can bet that a lot of people would feel offended and you get a lot of negative press. And so they had to somehow combine all these different traditions. And speaking of which, I'm here looking at a window of a shop, and here is the infant Jesus laying in a manger. You've got a statuette of Mary and Joseph, and right beneath that you've got, I think he's called Babbo Natale here in Italy. So Santa Claus. Here are some more Santa Claus puppets. Up there you've got some Christmas owls. That looks more like Harry Potter type of stuff. Here you've got a chocolate Santa Claus. Anyway, even here in the shops in the heart of Rome, you will see different traditions. And so for Pixar, it was of course a challenge. If you want to do something with Christmas, what kind of story are we going to tell? You can't just do a movie about the Nativity of Christ. And so I think they did something really, really smart. I'm not going to spoil exactly the story. You'll have to see that for yourself. But it's basically you go back to the castle, to the whatever fairy tale country that these two sisters live in. And they live in this big castle. Of course, they're orphans. I think their parents died. And they want to celebrate Christmas. And for the first time, they decorate the entire palace. And then they want to invite everyone to the party. And everyone has a different excuse. They all come to the castle, but then there are people that need to go to work, others go to their family. Everybody goes home, basically, which immediately reminded me of the story that Jesus tells about this king who organizes this big party. And nobody wants to come. Everybody has an excuse. And so the king decides to send his messengers to the streets and invite anyone who wants to come. No matter what your social status is or how rich or poor you are, everyone is welcome. And so I kind of sense that perhaps that's the story that they're going to tell. But actually they did something like that, but then it's all about Olaf. You remember the snowman from the song? Do you want to make a snowman? Well, Olaf is also part of this story, and he is going to find Christmas traditions. And he goes from door to door, and he encounters a lot of people from all over the world, and they all share with him their Christmas stories. I think I can cross the road here. Let's see. It's quite busy at this time of the day. It's almost evening, so people are rushing home to be with their families. And I thought it was a very clever way to integrate all these different Christmas traditions in that story. And it also shows you the diversity, because this is not, you know, fairy tale stuff. They actually show real Christmas traditions or end of year traditions from all over the world. And then things go wrong, of course. In any story, something has to go wrong. And ultimately, well, there is a happy end, as you can imagine. But the way they made the ending of the story, I think, came very close again to the Christian message, to the idea that Christmas is not just about the traditions, which can be different wherever you are in the world. It depends on your cultural background, and even on the religion that is part of your heritage. But what a lot of these traditions have in common is that it is a relational season. This is all about people acknowledging that their greatest treasure is the gift of the life of the people that you love. And so that is what this story tells, I think, in a wonderful way. I was very, very surprised by this. And actually, the people in the theater, that work in the theater, told me that when they first showed Coco, a lot of people started to leave the theater. Families were like, this is not the right movie. This is not Coco. This is Frozen. Because it's like 20 minutes long. It's almost an entire movie. I thought it was quite funny. So anyway, that was the first movie that I can highly recommend. And then it's followed by Coco. Let me turn the camera around here for my viewers and show you how empty it is here. It's quite surprising, if I can figure out how to do that with this gimbal. I'm using this, what you call that? It's a device that allows me to stabilize my camera. Of course, those of you that are listening just through the audio are like, well, that's not a problem for us. There you go. But it's kind of, I'm still learning how to use this device. So this is I'm walking down the street that leads to St. Peter's Square. And on Wednesday mornings, when there is a papal audience, and you would line up here, and there would be thousands of people waiting in line, waiting to get in. We're approaching one of the entrance gates to the Vatican. There usually are some guards, some Swiss guards, waiting there, no matter what the weather is. And behind these walls here are all the offices of the people in the Roman Curia, the people that work here. And you know, some people live here, but most people just drive in the morning. And on the other side of the street, you've got the stores, and over here is the tourist district, where you have a lot of souvenir shops, as you can imagine, and places where you can buy all your liturgical stuff, but also your Christmas decorations. Why not? This is the moment to get a new presepe, as they call it here. So a little nativity scene. I think presepe means stable. And so this is a commercially interesting time for the shop owners here. So this is the entrance gate that I was talking about. Here on my right, you enter the Vatican. And of course there is, oops, I'm not. I almost got run over because I was telling you that I didn't pay attention to the fact that it was a traffic light here. People are looking at me, you're a priest, you should know better. Anyway, and if you walk a little bit further, there is what they call the Passetto, which is an escape route, actually. And it's on top of a big porch, and then it goes all the way to Castel San Angelo, which is a fortress where the Pope could shelter whenever there was a war going on. I don't think he used it that much, but it has been used a few times. And then if we go underneath this this big, what is it, archway or portal, then you see the arches, the colonnades. These are the arms of St. Peter's Square. And I'll walk a little bit further and you'll be able to see the Christmas tree, the big Christmas tree that is placed next to the famous obelisk. And this is the square. It's massive, and it's getting dark, so it's not as busy as it normally is, although there are some people waiting in a line here, and it's probably to get into St. Peter's Basilica. You have to go through security, and that of course takes time. Now I will show you this nativity scene and the Christmas tree in one of my future shows, but for now I want to go back to Coco. How do I get from Christmas back to Coco? I don't think I can do a simple can build a little narrative bridge here. Well, perhaps because Coco is all about life after death. It's all about heaven. And in a certain way, Vatican faith is also about heaven, about not just this place here on earth, but also about our eternal life. And Coco tells the story of a young Mexican boy who is enamored with music. He loves to play music, but his entire family is completely anti-music. They hate music. And this has to do with a family history. So back in the days, there were one of his old grandfathers was a famous guitarist, and according to his family had betrayed the family, had chosen music over family. And so nobody wants to hear about music anymore. this boy can't help himself. He is so in love with music that he wants to somehow, you know, play the guitar and sing and do what his greatest talent and love is. Very recognizable story. But every time the movie seems to go in the direction of a trope, so a story that we've heard, you know, follow your heart, find your music, it changes and it does something different. And it's so well done. What I loved about this movie is the visual aspect of it. It's beautiful. It shows you, of course, kind of like a Disneyfied, pixified version of the Mexican tradition of the Day of the Dead. But ultimately, this boy crosses over to the world of the dead and goes on an entire adventure that I cannot tell you about because it would spoil the story. But it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story. And it has a heartwarming ending, made me cry. And I don't cry very often at the movies, although the older I get, the more it seems to happen. And so it is, it's a wonderful, touching story. It also has a beautiful message. And it made me think, this is, of course, the Day of the Dead is the day that you put up, wow, I wonder what this crowd is doing here. They're probably all leaving St. Peter's Square now. It's possible that the Basilica is closing, I'm not sure. But anyway, so the this is based on this tradition that you honor your family heritage by remembering them on the Day of the Dead. Of course, this is very similar to what the Catholic tradition does on All Souls Day. It's remembering people. But it's not just ancestor, how do you call that, veneration. It goes beyond that. The idea is, as long as we remember the dead, then they are not really dead, which is something that you hear often in, let's say, in the popular faith of people as well. And I always have to add something to that. It's not just us remembering people that keeps them alive. Otherwise, and this is also something that is mentioned in a movie, what will happen when nobody remembers you? You vanish. And of course, as a Christian, I believe in eternal life. So I was wondering, how would they show that in this movie? Are they even going to talk about, is it just linked to the memory of the living, your eternal destiny, which would be kind of, you know, a downer for a lot of people that nobody knows and nobody remembers. But then they introduced the concept of the second death. And I think they did that in a very smart way when the boy is not Coco, that's someone else in the story, you'll discover for yourself. When a boy asks, so what happens if everyone forgets you? When you vanish, that's the second death. Nobody really knows what happens afterward. So they keep it open. And I think that's the proper way to do that. And I would add, as a priest, even if everyone forgets you when you're dead, and that's ultimately going to happen to all of us, let's make no mistakes. Of course, everyone now remembers Julius Caesar, even though that was a while ago. But most of us will be completely forgotten in a few generations' time. And you don't even know your grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grandfather and mother. So, but God remembers us. God knows us, and He doesn't forget one single child, not one single person. And so you could, I think, say that because God does not forget us, He is the one who keeps us alive. It's his memory. In a certain way, kind of even comes close to the whole idea of remembrance in the Catholic liturgy, where when we celebrate Mass, the priest says the words of Jesus over the bread and the wine. And Jesus says at the Last Supper, do this to remember me. But it's not just a memory. It goes deeper than that. It is actually the memory itself makes Jesus present. And not just present while we are thinking of him, but, you know, real, really present. And I think that that's kind of the idea that I would like to propose also when we die in a certain way. The fact that God remembers us, He makes us present forever, because His memory is everlasting. Anyway, those are very big theological thoughts that I had in the movie while I was watching the movie. And don't let that distract you from enjoying this incredible movie. It is really one of the best stories I've seen. And Pixar is amazing at storytelling, so that's saying a lot. It's also one of the most beautiful animated movies that Pixar has made. So highly, highly recommended. It is such a great movie. And if you are looking for a movie to check out over the Christmas holidays, I would say that is the movie you should watch. Well, that wraps it up for this episode. This is a nice spot to end it. I'm standing on the street on the Via della Conciliazione, looking at the dome of St. Peter's Basilica in the evening sunlight. And it's the end of my first day here in Rome. Check out all the other episodes over at tridio.com and subscribe to the YouTube channel, or subscribe to the audio version of this show, to the audio podcast. And you can do that via tridio.com/subscribe. Thanks to all my patrons who make it possible for me to do this work and to bring you these shows. Thank you so much for your support. If you want to help me out, and any help is welcome, check out patreon.com/FatherRoderick. That's it. Have a wonderful day, and I will see you soon. Bye-bye.